But if you take your Bible and go to Psalm 18, I wanted to talk a little bit about the light. I mean, you know, the purpose of a lighthouse and what its function is. It guides those ships into the harbor when sometimes you can't see so well at night. It's foggy. You see that beacon of light out in the ocean or whatever places that those might be placed. And so I thought, you know, kind of spiritually, you know, there's a lot of uses and things about light in the Bible. And I've titled this teaching tonight, Drawn to the Light. So in Psalm 18, verse 28, it says, "For thou will light my candle, the Lord will enlighten my darkness. For by thee," verse 29, "I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It's God that girds me with strength. He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." Boy, what a great section of the scripture. But I really wanted to draw your attention to verse 28, where it says, "For thou will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." And that's one of the great qualities and characteristics of light, is that it dispels darkness. You remember the verse in 1 John, I believe it's 1:9, that says, "God is light, and in him is what?
No darkness
at all." Really something. I mean, if you drew that comparison throughout the scriptures, you probably see a lot of really great things. That's not what we're doing tonight, but the reality is, if you're in a completely dark place and you light a candle or you turn on a little flashlight or you use the flashlight on your phone, it enables you to do something, right? It enables you to see what's in the room so you don't trip or stumble over something maybe in the middle of the night. I've done that before. Maybe have a little flashlight or something on the bedstand next to me so that if I'm getting up or something's going on where I need to get up, I'm just not stumbling around in the dark. If any of you have ever done that, you probably have stories to tell about toes and fingers, and maybe you've fallen and other things that have happened. I don't know, but I can testify that I have experienced some of those things, and it's not real pleasant. So why not turn the light on? And in this case, God's going to light our candle. It's the Lord, my God, he will enlighten my darkness. Well, let's keep it here in Psalm and go to number 119. I mean, there's so many different places you could go. I mean, I've just picked out a few here so that we can, you know, just have some fun looking at what the scriptures say and then kind of the significance of how that ties together in a practical way for us to live our lives today. But Psalm 119, 130, always have loved this verse. "The entrance of thy words gives what?
Light.
It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look up thou unto me and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." The entrance of thy words, verse 130, gives light. The entrance of the words dispels any kind of darkness, not only in the world in which we live, but in our brain cells. And some, you know, we need light in there to cast away the negativity and all the stuff that gets built up in there just by being alive and being in this world. Things end up getting in there. But I just love this verse because it says it gives understanding unto the simple. And, you know, as complex of human beings as we may want to be, I think our inner heart, the inner man, cries for simplicity. And so that's a great exhortation that there's a real profit and a purpose for us to keep the Word of God alive, burning and alive in our hearts, because it gives light, it dispels darkness, and it gives understanding unto the simple. And you know what, regardless of degrees and that sort of things, man in his most basic form is very, very simple. And it's a great thing to be reminded of. Okay, one more in Psalms 130. That's where we're at, back to 105. Psalm 119 is just so full and rich of different things. Psalm 119, 105. Let's see. Let's start in 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So, you know, this says that that light dispels that darkness. Even in the middle of the day, you know what, spiritually, there's darkness. And we need to have that path enlightened. And it says that the word does that. It enlightens our path. It gives light to the paths that we need to go down and be a part of. So, you know, we learn that light dispels darkness. Comes as no surprise. Light brightens the path. And in 119, 130, it says it brings understanding to the simple. Now, let's look in the Gospels of John, because I want to show you something, a couple of places, something that Jesus said about who he was. And most of you, you know, are going to be familiar with what I'm about to say. But in John 8:12, there's a really interesting verse here. And it's in the context of when the Pharisees brought the woman caught in adultery to Jesus and tried to kind of test him and seeing what his response and reaction would be. And he answered with such great wisdom that they all just kind of had to turn and walk away. Because in verse 11, she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And then Jesus spake again. Then spake Jesus again unto them. Now, who were the them that Jesus was talking to? You know, in verse 3, it says, "The scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery." And then they went through this whole process. And then it says in verse 12, Jesus spake again unto whom? Them, being the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the scribes. "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And the Pharisees therefore said unto him, "Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true." Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I came and whither I go, because you judge after the flesh. And guess what? I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me." What a great, great record, but totally contradictory to the scribes and Pharisees thought about a lot of things spiritually, but especially about who Jesus was. Mm-hmm. This just bred such contempt, I think, in their hearts. But what a great statement that now Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of what? Life. Interesting. You know, in John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but for steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. If you'll look in the context of John chapter 10 again, you'll see that Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees. Isn't it interesting the revelation that came out of Jesus in these confrontations and in these situations where the scribes and Pharisees were right there in the audience? Really incredible. Matthew chapter 5, back up a couple of chapters here. Matthew chapter 5. So Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, he's going to walk in that same light, he or she. But here in Matthew chapter 5, during the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 14, well, let's start in verse 13, says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Then he says, verse 14, you are the light of the world. Now he says, I am the light. Now he's in this record, he's saying, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Show you something here. We're drawn to the light. We're drawn to God's word. We're drawn to Jesus Christ. He's Christ within us. We now have the light of Christ within us. So the true reality of what Jesus said in that you are the light of the world, we are the ones that are now broadcasting in a dark place the light of the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, which is a wonderful church epistle written to the church at Ephesus, but really it's the unveiling and the unraveling of some of the practical truths about the mystery, about the one body of Christ. So let's put that in this context of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. It says, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Therefore, we could say, walk as children of light. Well, we can take this personally, and we can take this collectively, too, that as a body of believers, the church, when we put on the mind of Christ, when we, like verse chapter 5, verse 1 says, as we're followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also had loved us, then we find ourselves in that place of walking in light, walking in love. And that's really the exhortation in this particular church epistle about the way that the one body of Christ, the church, interacts with one another. Like somebody recently shared in Galatians 6:10, as you have therefore opportunity, let us be good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And, you know, Jesus said to the disciples, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have what for one another? Love. You know, love is at the foundation of the scriptures. It is the, let's say, the red thread that's written all the way from Genesis all the way through to the end of Revelation, that God is love. He so loved that he gave. Christ loved. He prayed for us that we would have that same love within us that he had. Jesus said, I am the light. In Matthew, he said, you are the light. In Ephesians, we're being told that we are the light. You know, Philippians chapter 2, right after Ephesians there, there's a wonderful verse that talks about that we are lights in this world. Verse 15, it says that you may be blameless, Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as what? Lights, lights in this world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And I'll tell you, these are pretty simple truths, but I want to develop this a little bit further, because I wonder how many of us see our lives at the level of potential that is really available to us. So the question that, you know, needs to be asked is, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself walking in the steps or in that environment that Jesus talked about in John 14? He that believeth on me, because I go unto the Father, the works that I do shall he do also. Well, that was kind of cool and all right for Jesus to say, but do we see ourselves in that reality? You know, in Romans 8:29, there's a really interesting verse. So you take your Bibles and turn there for a moment. Romans 8:29. And all these things about light and who we are, I mean, those are all wonderful truths to know, but it's how do we then project what we know to be true from the Word? That is kind of where the rubber meets the road, where we're hearing from God, distinguishing the voice of God, working with our minds to really walk in faith and in the realm of the miraculous. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Where it says that we're going to be conformed to the image of his son. Well, the question is then, where can I find the image of Christ? Because Jesus is not physically here on earth today. But we can go to the scriptures and we can read about his character and his works. And then we work with our minds that I see myself in the same way that I put on in my imagination myself being as he is. You know, when Jesus calmed the storm, when Jesus fed the multitudes, he did it with great authority, see. And God marked us out to be conformed to the image of Christ. Well, we certainly believe that Jesus calmed the storm, fed multitudes of people, healed the sick, and raised the dead. We also believe that we can do the same works he did. Can you imagine, however, I mean, you know, if you were to ask yourself, do you believe you can do the works of Jesus? I think the answer is yes. But the question is then, can you imagine yourself calming a storm? Can you imagine yourself feeding a large group of people with an insufficient amount of food? Can you imagine yourself healing the sick? Can you imagine yourself raising the dead? You know, this word imagine, it means to form a mental image or concept of something. And so we have to learn to work with ourselves to build these images, but these images are not something that we necessarily build, because we saturate our minds and meditate on the things of God, and God brings those pictures, those images to us, I think, when we have a mutual desire and a willingness to want to do these sort of things that God is talking about. It's really, really quite something. But, you know, far too often, many of us allow our lives to be shaped by what we see with our natural eyes, what we feel, how our emotions are going, what logic has to say. And so we end up walking by faith. We end up walking by sight and not by faith. You know, some of us ends up being kind of like Thomas, that they until they see it or feel it, they won't believe it. And so therefore, it is available for Christians to walk carnally, to walk like natural men. And it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And it is really vitally important that we realize that it's our spiritual vision that is the key to having a life that overcomes obstacles and overcomes circumstances. And so, you know, what do you see with your spiritual eyes? And do we realize that the invisible world of the spirit is more real than the visible world of the five senses? This is where it takes us really having a revelation of who God is, of who we are. And that is the only way that we're really going to understand who we truly are, is when God shows you who you are. If we don't understand that, and believe me, I have been down this road and I'm still growing in this process, in learning who I am, what I have, what I can do, what those spiritual enablements are that I have truly been blessed with and given. And it's a work in progress. And we want to embrace the relationship that we've been called to with God Almighty. This is what Jesus paid the perfect price for. And, you know, we are children of the light. We are those ambassadors, those people who've been called especially to just show forth and evidence the love of God. So I'm going to challenge you tonight a little bit to spend some time thinking and praying and talking to God about the reality of who you truly are, and then seeing yourself performing the things that Jesus did. Because if you can't see yourself doing it, you know what? You'll never do it. One of the great tools in athletic performance is being able to visualize yourself going through whatever athletic tasks you're all involved in. And so you don't have a tremendous amount of time here to really develop it tonight, but as you know, we have more of these teaching sessions that go on. I think there's some great benefit to realizing the things that we've been, you know, truly given. So I trust this makes sense to you guys, and there are other resources available. And if you'd like to, you know, check those out a little bit further, feel free to email me or call me at some point, wbarnhart2@gmail.com. And I'd be happy to, you know, give you a little bit further information about some other resources that you'd be blessed to check out. Vicki and I have been most recently looking and reading and listening to a seminar by Ken Petty called The Renewed Mind, Words and Images. And I think that's part of the inspiration of what, you know, I'm working on and teaching here tonight. So it's been a blessing, and you can tell my heart's full of a lot of different things. But the truth is, we have a lot of, like Bob said last night, we have a true power source. We may not understand how electricity works, but boy, we sure enjoy it. You know, we flip the switch and we get it. We've got a power base and a power source that's so far beyond us, but we get the privilege and the opportunity to use it. So thank you for hanging in there with me tonight. We got a great, big, wonderful God, and we have had so much exposure to just wonderful, simple truths. But now is the time that we, you know, really ignite ourselves so that we truly are living the book of Acts today. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this joy and privilege of sharing the scriptures and being together with your people tonight. I pray that these things that I've shared, Father, can really stir up and get in the hearts of your people, and that all of us will continue to grow and to develop as wonderful men and women of God who know how to walk and know how to just embrace the power of the Spirit and just be great opportunities to love. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.